Today, Kiwis get a rate cut as the Reserve Bank pivots. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Interesting question this. Who do you believe more, the markets or central bankers? Of course, those in central bank land will claim data dependence and moving targets. And as the RBA Deputy Governor Andrew Hauser warned recently, it's a risk to listen to false prophets on interest rates. And yet, after several forced dawns, New Zealand Central Bank cut interest rates and embarked on an easing cycle much sooner than had previously been indicated.
Today, the Monetary Policy Committee agreed to ease the level of monetary policy restraint in New Zealand, and that was by reducing the official cash rate to 5.25%. The committee also agreed that the pace of further easing will depend on its confidence that pricing behaviours remain consistent with a low inflation environment, and that inflation expectations are anchored around the 2% target. Our recent announcements have talked about the committee's growing confidence that rising spare capacity in the economy and changing price setting behaviours would reduce inflation and enable a future easing in monetary conditions. And it is here today that I can say this confidence has now reached that point where the committee has been able to act. Our economic projections are our best estimates of the future path of monetary policy, and they are always conditional on the available data. This is why we're back every 6 weeks or so talking about our monetary policy outlook.
The Reserve Bank of New Zealand's pivot to easing is a rapid change of tune after it said in May that it considered raising rates and wouldn't cut them until the second half of 2025. The bank's concerns over sticky domestic inflation are being alleviated as the economy teeters on the brink of its third recession in less than 2 years and unemployment rises. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand's new forecasts show the official cash rate falling further in the fourth quarter and by about 100 basis points or 1% by the middle of next year. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand's updated forecast shows a big drop in the forward track for the cash rate compared to its May projections. They show the average official cash rate at 3.85% by the end of 2025 compared to 5.14% just previously. This change in direction caused some consternation in the press conference.
Kia ora, Governor Katie Bradford from One News. How much of a line call was today's decision? How hard was it? And did you really feel the pressure given the tough stories we're hearing out there?
I kind of used words like relief and pleased, kind of almost bordering on emotional words, that we are at a position where we are confident that inflation is back within its target band and that we can continue, you know, now commence our renormalisation of policy interest rates. So in that sense, it was not a difficult decision and it was full consensus. It's been about building the committee's confidence to get moving, and we're at that point now.
How worried are you about the economic situation over the next few months? Are things going to get worse before they get better? Because obviously it will take some time for this to make its way through the economy.
Our economic activity, it's kind of interesting actually. The darkest period is actually where we are right now. We are still waiting to hear our June GDP quarterly growth rate. That's, you know, months back. And we're in the middle of the September quarter. We have a minus 0.5 and a minus 0.2 growth rate for those two quarters, meaning there is significant spare capacity developed in the economy. But our projections from there on forward actually see New Zealand returning to a circa 3% growth rate, 25 and 26. So economic activity renormalising as interest rates come back down and the inflation pressure taking out. So, you know, it's darkest before dawn, and I'm suggesting it is, we're basically in dawn at the moment, according to our projections.
And just rewinding back to May, was the Reserve Bank wrong or bluffing or a bit of both?
No, we weren't buffing, bluffing. The forecasts were well buffed, and but not bluffed. Where, you know, we always put out our best foot forward for where we see the rates going. Back in May, where were we? 5-6 months ago, we still had headline CPI inflation north of 4%. We had inflation expectations away from the midpoint of the target. We had services inflation very high, and we only had that spare capacity starting to emerge. We talked about the risks both in May and July that those near-term pricing intention risks could well be usurped by stronger than anticipated, than a sharper than anticipated decline in activity. And that's what we talked about in July. That started to play out, and in July we opened the door to say we are getting more confident to start moving rates to a lower place.
I mean, I appreciate it's a very dynamic environment, but what do you say to people sitting at home watching these press conferences or reading the paper, watching TV, you know, when the Reserve Bank says this is likely what's going to happen to interest rates, and then we have something so drastically different happen?
So what I would always remind them to do is you don't have to wait for third parties to tell you what to think. You can go direct to the Reserve Bank's monetary policy statement. And when you read that, you will read in particular the record of the meeting, which talks about the risks and the conditionality of forward forecasts. And those risks were very strongly highlighted in May and again in July. And, you know, this is just the nature of turning points. So that's it. By the way, I think more people have voted with their feet, and financial markets have been shifting anyway. I mean, we are seeing the tenor of mortgage borrowing having shortened up considerably, i.e. people were sniffing a lower interest rate environment in the future.
Inflation cooled to 3.3% in the second quarter, putting the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's 1-3% target within reach, though a gauge of domestically generated inflation still sat at 5.4%. The central bank also forecast inflation to drop to 2.3% in the current quarter, though it doesn't see a return to the 2% midpoint until the middle of 2026. Recent indicators give confidence that inflation will return substantially to target within a reasonable time frame, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand said. However, members noted that monetary policy will need to remain restrictive for some time to ensure that domestic inflationary pressures continue to dissipate. Or did say that the bank considered a 50 basis point reduction before setting on the 25 point cut as a reasonably low risk start to the easing cycle. Future cuts will be data dependent, and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand said it was in a strong position to move calmly.
You've moved the OCR forecasts by as much as a percentage point or so.
Yeah. No, that's correct. So we're always, the inflation stays, reaches 2 and remains at 2 because we are altering monetary conditions. So our inflation forecast is conditional on monetary policy.
That's a huge change. I mean, it begs some sort of explanation.
Well, it does. There's a 42-page explanation here, and I invite people to read it. And no, it's not a huge change. A change of where you have, 150 basis points. I mean, we're not even back at neutral in this forecast period. So I strongly suggest it's not huge. It is a gradual normalisation, a gradual tempering of inflation.
We are confident that inflation is back within its target band, and we can commence our renormalisation of policy interest rates, Governor Andrew Orr said at the news conference. It's been about building the committee's confidence to get moving, and we're at that point now. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand adopted a less hawkish tone in its July review when it said tight policy might be curbing demand more strongly than expected. And today it forecasts contractions in the second and third quarter of this year, which would also be the country's third recession since the end of 2022. The committee noted that the weakening in domestic economic activity observed in the July monetary policy review had become more pronounced and broad-based, with a broad range of indicators suggesting the economy is contracting faster than anticipated. The downside risk to output and employment that were highlighted in July have become more apparent. But one of the main clues as to the policy switch was a significant drop in migration, once again proving the uncomfortable truth that high migration is inflationary, not surprising really, given that more demand in the economy when supply is crimped equals inflation. Another point in the press conference was the discussion around the neutral rate, which is around 3%, and that sets up further rate cuts ahead.
Kia ora, Governor. Anand Zaki from Radio New Zealand. Can households be hopeful that we can return to an era of low interest rates that we saw leading up to the COVID pandemic, and then, of course, you know, at the start of the pandemic for other reasons, but can we, is the era of low interest rates going to come back?
As long as inflation remains low and stable, you will have low and stable nominal interest rates. And so, you know, with that, I think this our projection is saying we are going back into a period of low and stable inflation, subject to any other external shock. And that means that you will see lower nominal interest rates coming back into the economy. So that's the case. We haven't quite started worrying about having negative interest rates yet. Remember those stories. But, you know, we are far more confident that, you know, what's our neutral rate is around a 3% official cash rate level. So if you think about that as being neutral on average, we are heading back to that.
Now, it's interesting that Adrian Orr has a bit of a reputation for wrong-footing markets and economists, and of course did what the market expected for once. It was a pretty dovish statement. As a result, the New Zealand dollar dropped and stocks rallied, bond yields fell. It's worth recalling that New Zealand's central bank was among the first in the developed world to tighten policy in 2021 to rein in elevated inflation. Not only did it start raising the cash rate 7 months ahead of the Reserve Bank of Australia, but it also went harder, pushing the benchmark rate more than 1 percentage point above its neighbour. Now, of course, the moves mirrors other central banks as investors have ramped up bets on rate cuts as job data in the US recently signaled possibly a rising risk of a recession. The Federal Reserve now is expected to start its easing cycle next month, and policymakers in Canada, England, and in the European Central Bank have already begun theirs. But by contrast, the Reserve Bank of Australia held borrowing costs steady last week, and Governor Michelle Bullock has indicated it won't hesitate to raise rates if needed to bring inflation to heel. So the question is, will the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's move influence Australian interest rates? Well, probably not, because inflation in Australia is way, way worse, and government spending and support significantly higher. RBA Governor Michelle Bullock last week ruled out the prospect of rate cuts this year, but the RBA's significant lag in monetary policy will eventually catch up to the Australian economy, as it has done in New Zealand. Markets, by the way, are still seeing a November cut in Australia, so the question is again, who is right? Which brings us conveniently back to Reserve Bank Deputy Governor Andrew Hawes's view on monetary policy, as spoken about in Brisbane on Monday. It was actually a speech provocatively titled Beware False Prophets and did sound at times like a shot at the politicians, commentators, economists, strategists and business people who like to declare that the next move of central bank is blindingly obvious. As humans, we are all prone to overconfidence, particularly when forecasting the future, Hawser said. In many cases, the answer we ought to give is that we simply do not know. But it can be hard to say that, particularly if your job is to give a view, and particularly when even small changes in judgments may have first-order effects on people's lives. Hawser's key points were to hit back at backseat central bankers that he claims are playing a dangerous game by trying to influence monetary policy. And it was also to illustrate how the Reserve Bank fights back against overconfidence behind the scenes by acknowledging the challenges involved in forecasting, evaluating both the risks to its central forecast and the central forecast themselves. In the Q&A session that followed the speech, Hauser gave the example of the uncertainties around assessing what's variously called the neutral rate, the equilibrium rate, or the R star rate. This is the rate at which interest rates are neither expansionary nor contractionary. We acknowledge the huge debate the huge number of different drivers of this theoretical data point and the great range of expert views, and then he studiously avoided becoming a false prophet. Who knows, is the honest answer. He said, I wouldn't want to be someone actually trying to invest on the basis of these numbers. But then, of course, markets are always betting on the next big thing, and that includes rate moves. Traders are seeking profit from volatility in positions. Last week's brief market meltdown is a case in point. At the heart of the global sell-off was a fear that the US was headed into a recession rather than a soft landing, and that the Federal Reserve would need to cut rates harder and faster than expected. While investors probably lurched to the wrong conclusions, with some false prophets, such as economist Jeremy Siegel, compounding problems by demanding the Fed slash rates by 1.5% by the end of next month, the episode demonstrated why investors must continue to assess the shifting outlook for rates, particularly when we are close to changes in monetary policy cycles. Influential Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett has been telling his clients to sell risk assets when the Fed cuts for the first time for months, on the basis that higher for longer rates are already causing a lot of pain and will lead to a harder than expected landing. Harnett says investors should be hunting for relative opportunities in assets that were strangled by 5% yields and can breathe more easily with yields at 3 or 4%, including real estate investment trusts, small cap stocks, and even plays linked to the housing markets of Australia, Canada, New Zealand and Sweden, where variable rates help shift animal spirits much faster than the US. The truth is that neither markets nor central bankers have crystal balls, and as data lands, things change. But at the moment, I think central bankers are lacking strategy, and so they swing around based on the data at a point in time. Generally, I think Australia will see rates higher for longer because of poor government policy, as I discussed in yesterday's live show with Lee Van Onselen. But the rate trend will be lower ahead, but then not back to close to zero, which was in its own right a policy error and helped to fire up inflation in the first place. But at least for now, Kiwis can breathe a little easier, though you can probably thank lower migration for that. Australia, please note. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.